Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to another Ask for Football Army Football Show. So the plebes have marched back from Lake Frederick. The Army football team is at camp, and guess what? Things are about to get serious here at Ask for Football, if you can believe it. The offseason is almost over. I'm your host, Robin. Yeah, I was almost saying Fayetteville, North Carolina, but I am in Virginia. We got Dan in Coastal Connecticut. We've got James from Brigade Review calling to you out of St. Louis, Missouri. And Omar is calling to you from Fort Chill, Oklahoma. How we doing, guys?
Good, man. Just because you asked, strong and sturdy 2030. So... Nice. There you go. That's their motto. I'm looking at it right now. They look suitably, you know, unhappy on their way into reorg week. James, I honestly thought you'd be flying in a plane over a country we won't name, bombing a body of water that we also won't name.
Yeah, it makes for some interesting times on the Astro football crews.
He's just laughing, so I don't know. Maybe I took that one too far.
Oh, no. Sorry. I am because I'm in an unnamed country. I have very poor internet service and I got backed up.
Okay. There you go. Makes sense. Awesome. Omar, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Fatherhood's fun, you know. And then also too, I guess I had my first old grad moment. There was a young yearling that, you know, came across, during the NTC rotation that we were, you know, observing, and I looked, it was like a mirror. I'm like, man, like, I cannot believe yearling year was like 8 years ago. And I'm like, suddenly that's the first time I felt old, because I feel young at heart all the time.
Well, that's,
you know, my first old grad moment, I actually posted about it on Twitter today, because the Army athletic director, Tom Fiodorakis, posted that he was going to do march back today. And I remember going back for my sister's march back. And I was originally told, because I didn't sign up on time because I was in Europe, that I could only do the last 3 miles. That's the only spots they had left. So I was going to do the last 3 miles from the ski slope. And then the night before, I got a phone call from the guy in charge at AOG saying a spot opened up on the full 14-mile march. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah, dude, but it's 10 o'clock and I've been at Southgate for the last 3 hours. So I'll see you at 2 a.m.
So what'd you just ranger through this, you know, keep pounding the whiskeys and then.
Yeah. I let my sister know that she might have 60 pounds on her back, but I was struggling more than she was.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Very nice.
Hey, it's not a road march if you're not clearing out illicit substances from your system at 4 o'clock in the morning. Not to say that that has ever happened before or will ever happen again since. And speaking of happening before and happening since, we have somebody that can help you find your next home. And that was a terrible segue, as you can see the cringe on Dano's face. But if you're listening to the show and you know that we have a realtor here, and her name is Jocelyn Bradley, if you're PCS into the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics there. She discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working with you. Jocelyn has decided to support Ask for Football this season. She's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors all across the country that can help you find a home if you're in the market. So she makes calls for people. So there's a lot of services that will help you relocate, but they'll charge you to find someone. Jocelyn will do that for free. So if you're looking to move, she should be your first call. Dan, over to you.
Let's talk offense. My favorite topic. We are, of course, a week away from Rob's favorite topic of talking defense. Just a little plug. I put out a preview, so this is going to be kind of the audio version of the article that came out on Friday. 800 people read that article on Friday, give or take. I'm pretty happy with that. So we all knew that there was a lot of production returning from last year's team, but I didn't realize exactly how much until I started writing this article. It's crazy. So Cale Helms is back at quarterback, barring some kind of totally unforeseen thing. He's going to be your starter. Although the coach, you know, Coach Munkin's been pretty cagey about it. He's been very high on Bryson Luter and or Ethan Washington, all offseason, like very consistently. I don't know that we saw that in the spring game, but this is definitely what the coaching staff has been saying. And then O-line, check it out. You've got firstie captain Brady Small, fourth team preseason All-American, probably the best center in the American Athletic Conference. Right guard Paolo Generali, preseason second team All-Conference. Incredibly, he might actually be underrated at that. Right tackle Teddy Williams, left tackle Henry Appleton. Both those guys are firsties, could easily wind up as All-Conference players. And then at left guard, that's the only position you're looking for right now. You've got either Kyle Kloska or Lane Parks. Looks like it's going to be one of those two, although, you know, obviously they don't have to make a decision tomorrow. I cannot remember the last time we had five firstie O-linemen with experience. I don't know if that's ever happened. Running back, we've got yearling God's Power and Huawei, firstie Carson Smith, firstie Jake Rendina. So that's a speed guy, a banger, and a guy in Smith who's a little bit of both. Slot backs is arguably your biggest question mark. Firstie Samari Howard returns. He played better as a receiver last year than as a runner, I think, but he's an excellent receiver. Then you've got Omar's personal hero, Lloyd Benson III, moving over from punt returner to slot back. In addition, firstie David Clerk has seen some time, and former quarterback, firstie Zach Mundell, has waited a long time to make a difference in the offense. So we'll see if he can break into the rotation there at slot. Like I said, I don't know if any of those guys are going to replace Noah Short's upside. Like, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But they've got some really proven receivers there that they've got to figure out a way to get them the ball on the ground. And then finally, receivers and tight ends. Cal wide receiver Brady Anderson, man, he's practically the only non-senior on the entire team. Firstie tight end Parker Pulaski, Tau tight end Tex Brannon. The team could maybe use another receiving threat, although honestly, I think we'd probably all rather see them run the two tight end sets a little bit more. So, all right, now you have to say something. So let me kick it back over to you guys. Omar, you're shaking your head.
Oh, no, I just thought what you said was funny, just your transition. But I guess now that you cued me in, what I have here, I guess it's kind of weird. It's backwards. 61. No, we're not talking about Roger Maris. This was Lloyd Benson's rating on College Football 27. Forget it. Forget the microtransactions. This was the biggest travesty in all the game. Lloyd Benson is tremendously underrated. He had a 32-yard punt return at some point last year. But all that being said, I think the point that I put in the outline is you didn't mention Aiden Self or Brady Mott, any of those bigger H-back type.
Okay.
And for me, like, it's a nitpick, a frivolity at that. But, like, in my opinion, if you have those guys in the field and you're not going to use them as runners at any point of the year, like Aiden Self here in every game did not just single carry, you're kind of tipping your hand a bit. And so I kind of want to see the coaching staff kind of think out the box with the slot backs. Like, we know they can do it. They put Samari Howard at fullback in the biggest game of the year. And
yeah, for sure.
Had some mixed results. So I would love to see Self or Mott maybe in that position to give a little burst at the fullback position, but that's my nitpicky thought.
James?
All right, so kind of a weird thing, but Bill Connolly every year posts his S&P returning production stats, which, you know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt because the triple option gets evaluated so differently than the rest of the other offenses. But one thing you can do is sort of compare the service academies against each other, right? And you can see, you know, how do they stack up and what kind of returning production are you getting? Going into last year, right, Navy had a 79% returning production on offense, which is crazy high, right? The way that you build these service academy teams to win a lot of games is you get a really senior heavy class that have had a lot of starts together and you play them. And Navy going into last year, they obviously had a lot of seniors on their offense. And so they had 79% returning production, and they ended up with the 30th overall FPI efficient offense in the country, which sounds about right for Navy's offense last year. Army last year at a 34% going into 2025, a 34% returning offensive production. And they ended up with 79th best offense in the country based on efficiency, which, again, sounds about right. Air Force was sort of in the middle. They ended up with the 38th best offense, and they had 47% returning production. This year, Army has 67% returning production. So not quite as high as Navy's last year, but pretty close. Omar, I have so many issues. 67% returning offense for Army. And that's, you know, so we should expect an efficiency somewhere closer to the 30 to 40 range than where they were last year at in the 80 range, you know, 80 to 70 range. That's sort of generally where we're at. Again, it's sort of surprising to see returning production offense this high for Army. There's usually more turnover than this. We generally live in the 40 to 60 range, and last year was really, really bad, which makes sense that this year would be really, really good. So we'll see. Given the amount of returning production, I feel like I have way more questions about this offense than I should. And we can get into that a little bit more.
I got to say, the one concern that I had, not just on offense, but a lot of it on offense, is that it seemed like half the coaching staff left. But then when I was looking at the specifics, it's not that bad, right? I mean, we lost our defensive coordinator. Okay, but they promoted internally, and then you lost Mike Beattie to Miami. But so now you've got a new offensive line coach in John Holt, a new tight ends coach in Ryan Starasi. I hope I said that correctly. And Cedric Cunningham. It was a new running backs coach, but actually played at West Point under Coach Munkin. So he's at least going to understand how stuff works at the academy. So that's kind of amazing. And for what it's worth, I thought Coach Munkin looked and sounded relaxed in his first, you know, post-practice press conference. And a lot of times how coach looks is kind of a good barometer of how the early season is going to go. You know, if you remember last year, Coach Munkin did not look great. Like his just his whole he looked nervous. I mean, I thought he looked like a guy who had a team he didn't necessarily believe in that he was about to run out onto the field, and that didn't go very well. This year, he looks like a guy who does believe in his team. So, yeah.
The other thing to keep in mind as far as coaches go, right? This is what Coach Worley's second full year as offensive coordinator.
Yes.
So you're coming in from a retooling of the offense, followed by a unretooling of the offense, but a, hey, we don't know exactly what we want to be yet, into a year where he's the offensive coordinator for the first time, and you don't know who the quarterback's going to be, and your starter gets injured in camp, in fall camp, and then you start somebody else, and then you end up with a quarterback who's a completely different play style than who you thought you were going to start, both in fall camp and who you started afterwards.
Yeah.
It was an absolute mess. So big questions to be answered this year. What does Army want to look like? I think last year was a good experiment in the, hey, do we want a slippery quarterback or do we want a bruiser? And the answer is we want a bruiser, right? Army's best season since 1958 happened 2 years ago, and it was with a 231-pound quarterback, right? That's – you want a big line and a big quarterback. That's the winning move here. Well, you have a bigger quarterback as your presumed starter this year. And we can get into whether or not he's the presumed starter. But your presumed starter this year is a bigger quarterback than you were expecting last year. You have a returning good offensive line. Those are the sort of basic metrics. What is Cody Worley going to do? Is he going to try to finally – yes, thank you. Worley's in his third year. This starts his third year. But again, he goes from first year where he's unretooling an offense into his second year where his quarterback shuffle was kind of crazy. So this is his first full year where he sort of knows what's going on, right? What is he going to do? Is he still going to try to run the same playbook? Does he stretch his wings a little bit here? What is this offense going to look like? I wouldn't be shocked to see it a little different.
Rob, you're back. You want to say something?
Yeah, so really I'll run down position groups real quick and just give my quick take on it. Offensive line is solid, so of course I'm a front seven guy. So if the front seven continues to develop as they are, they've been playing together for years, so the opportunity for them to do well is there. You know, for the quarterback situation, you know, we've commented on this 1,000 times before, but anytime we see the QB1 at Army develop into the position, he tends to do better. Right. So when there's not a quarterback scramble, we typically have a better performance overall. So that's pretty much what I'm going to talk about on the quarterback thing. I think the main thing is who's going to be the solid number two, because they have two solid guys that potentially could be backups or even starters given their skill set. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, on the the A-backs, like you said, that's going to be the question mark because we've got a lot of talent in the backfield. We just got to use it. I mean, I think that's the main thing is, like, you've got a lot of weapons. Get the ball in the hands of your skill players. And if a guy's not working out, you've got three other backs to, you know, get into the rhythm and give them an opportunity. Play the hot hand. You know, don't stop a guy on a heater. I think that's the main thing. For the B-back room, you know, I prefer power and finesse as a fullback. You know, right now we have a little bit of each, right? So you've got God's power, you know, he's finesse, and Rendina is power, and Carson Smith is kind of in the middle. But, like, I need somebody to take on, like, the Mike Allstat role, like a freaking 240-pound running back I would be happy with, you know, that could perform. It's not typical in college football to see a guy like that, but I would love to see some type of performance along those lines. And then the tight ends, again, I'm going to start beating the drum again. Go back and watch your Keith Byers highlight reel and just get fired up about an H-back again, because I think we have some talented tight ends that could do both. And then the other piece of it is if you use, you know, if you use Tex Brannon or Parker Pulaski in that H-back role, that gives you another good solid blocker with some size, but also increases your threat for the short passing game. And so I think just those formation packages in and of itself, forcing a linebacker to cover, you know, Tex, and back to Omar's point, Tex had the highest catch and traffic of all the receivers on the Army football team on College Football 27. So if that statistics holds true, you know, give the kid a shot.
I have, in fact, seen him catch in traffic a few times. I have seen this. It does happen.
Yeah. And so I think there's, you know, there's probably some truth to some of the analytics within the college football game, some of them, and then others are not. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, open up the playbook. You've got a lot of maturity and senior experience, so here's your chance to, you know, throw in plays that you may not have typically done in previous years because you don't have the guys on the squad to do it.
It would be nice to see.
Here's a question.
Go ahead, James.
Who do we think is the Hayden Reed replacement, right? Who's the guy who is a threat as a fullback? He's, you know, Reed was 220. Who's the sort of 220-pound running back who you can throw to every once in a while? I think Reed had 6 receptions last year. Of those 3 fullbacks we mentioned, which one is the guy who's the biggest receiving threat?
I mean, which of them can catch? Have we ever even seen any of them receive?
I mean, you know, you probably think Gospower has decent hands because he came in as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know how much that translates because he came in as an option quarterback. But yeah, I don't know. I think someone's got to fill that role, though. I don't think you can go into the season saying the only people we're going to pass to are wide receivers, tight ends, and A-backs. You need somebody there.
Yeah, I think the swing pass is just like an underutilized tool for Army. You know, and like if you saw it in the Army-Navy game when they ran that floater screen where like they faked the motion like they were going to run the counter option and then they floated out into the flats and then through. That was a beautiful play that we saw once, you know, in the Army-Navy game. That may have been a package play, but it never got utilized through the rest of the season.
I will just come back to the point that you've got 2 dudes with like NFL size at tight end with who can catch. And there's nothing, it's not illegal to throw to them. And we've seen that. So I'll just lay that out there. Friends, if you have listened to this show before, you know that Craig Oxane is an area sales manager. Oh my goodness. This is such a, oh no, that's okay. We're good. Sorry. Start over. I had a little editing for you guys tomorrow. Craig Oxane is area sales manager and mortgage broker at the Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but works out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country because he offers you super competitive rates. He'll give you the best deal he possibly can. And because you can trust him and he's an actual person who will pick up the phone when you call because you have a question about the freaking mortgage process. Omar and or James, have you guys bought a house yet?
Nope.
Face palm. Anyway, when and if you ever buy a house, you will learn that the mortgage process is super confusing. You have interest rates moving all over the place, trying to get your house appraised, all this crazy stuff. It is a time when you would like to deal with somebody who actually cares about you, who will pick up the phone and answer your questions. And as we say all the time, this is how the the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football. We're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. And as we said, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. Save yourself like $1,300, guys. Save that money. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. That link's on our website. So is Jocelyn's. And for that matter, so is Greg Iannacelli's. They all have these little business cards on the right side. Click on those. You'll be talking to them in a couple of hours.
First three games of the schedule. Oh, Omar, you want to take them?
Sure. I guess I'll get these hosting chops in.
We are in full preseason mode right now.
I was looking at my American Conference preview. I was in rebuttal mode because I was looking at my American Conference preview. But let me pull up the outline. So yeah, first game, the Bryant Bulldogs, which I have an article upcoming. I guess heads up, Dano, about who the heck is Bryant, kind of like last year, who the heck is Charlton. Bryant is weird. They tend to play their best against FBS competition. Like they beat UMass last year, which wasn't much to say, even though this is an excuse to say it. In the words of Pop Watson, UMass is going to be different. They're going to F-U-C-K the Mac, which is the quote of the offseason. Bad grammar and all. But yeah, so they're 3-9 last year. One of those wins was against UMass a couple years ago. They took FIU to overtime, and I think FIU scored a two-point conversion or Bryant missed a two-point conversion. So this is a program that has never sniffed the FCS playoffs, but they play their best against FBS competition. On the notes, Brendan Myers, a returning quarterback, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in just 5 games. Not as accurate, completed less than 60% of his passes and took 10 sacks. Any thoughts on the run-in Bryant Bulldogs, anybody out of Smithfield?
I mean, I'm glad that it's a game that looks like we should be able to, you know, the Black Knights should be able to win. In 5 games of work, the dude took 10 sacks. For a new defensive coordinator trying to break in his new linebackers, that's something that you would hope you can make work. Rob might be frozen again. Boy, we're like struggling with the snap today.
Yeah, we're crushing it now. So, you know, for Brian, the big thing is like, hey, Army does not want to have another collapse like they did at the beginning of the last season. I think that was really bad form and it put a bad taste in everybody's mouth. I think the team is going to be more prepared. I also think that, like, if you're a senior, like, you cannot start your season like that. And Bryant is the team to beat up on and actually get some big numbers. You know, like, this is a stat game if they go in aggressive and execute like they're supposed to. I mean, you've got a bunch of senior talent on the team, so it should be able to do it. However, it's quite possible that, you know, anything can happen. That's why we play the games. But statistically, Army does have the best chance of putting a hurting on these guys right now.
Yeah, and unlike last year, there's no P4 opponent on the schedule this year to give you a better taste in your mouth after a bad one. So you are effectively, you know, if this game doesn't go right, it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah, for sure. Omar, you want to go on?
Of course. So after that, it's funny you mentioned that, James, because we hop right into conference play week 2, just like Navy does. I mean, that's just life as a service academy in the American. They have USF 9-4 last year. New team, new coach. This is like, in doing my American Conference preview, like there's teams that are just completely new, essentially NFL free agent builds, and teams that are built that are just building upon last year. USF is essentially a free agent build. New quarterback in Michael Van Buren competed. I think he beat out officially Luke Kromenhoek, another Power 4 transfer. Van Buren threw for over 1,000 yards last year in limited work, had 8 touchdowns versus just 2 interceptions for LSU, but also took 14 sacks in limited playing time. There's a lot of Power 4 talent, and of course, a lot of people are going to make the fact that Brian Hartline, the new head coach, is a wide receiver guru. There is a betting line, I guess, in our preview. We have Army at 0.5, so it's a push. I'm surprised by that betting line, to be honest with you.
I mean, I was surprised by that too, but SP Plus had them almost exactly the same ranking. And
that's not a betting line. That's just a projected betting line.
But it's not an official betting
based line, on correct. Okay.
But it's the reason that we do betting lines is not because we are encouraging you to bet. It's because we're trying to give you a sense of what your expectation is. So yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So my hot take on this is like, hey, look, man, even though it's a rebuilding year, Brian Hartline is like a genius with recruiting wide receivers. You put that guy in Florida, that puts him right up the street from Coral Gables. And I'm sure that there are some guys that are peeking at Miami. But when you have that guy as a wide receiver coach, they may get pulled to Tampa. So it may not, this might be, not be the year because he's developing that talent. But like, I think USF is going to be a problem on the Army schedule in the near future, just because of the talent that Brian Hartline has been able to pull. You know, like the wide receiver room in Ohio State was nothing but NFL draft picks. Right. So he may not get like 3 out of 4 in the wide receiver room every year into the league, but he's going to get at least 1 out of 4.
The big thing with the American is this is going to be a constant. So long as the American is sort of the best of the rest conference, which we'll see how the Pac-12 pans out, but provided that continues to be the case, there's going to be a lot of coaching turnover in the American. Who are the coaches that turned over this year? South Florida, North Texas, Tulane, Memphis. Who else?
I think that's it.
Might be
unless,
it.
Unless there were some at the bottom, and I'm just, you know.
Right, which I'm not sure. Although most of the bottom of the American had new coaches last year, so I'm not sure there was any turnover down there. But you have a bunch of people at the bottom of the American who are like Casey Keeler, like Tulsa, who beat us last year, right? So you got a bunch of people that – you got a bunch of really good coaching talent that came in 2 years ago and a bunch of brand new talent this year. It's kind of a wide open year in the American. You're probably not going to get an opportunity like this very often because the odds that all of the best teams lose their head coach in the same year are pretty low. I'm really glad this game's at home. It's the first time there are two teams that Army has not played in the American, meaning they haven't played them as an American Conference opponent yet, and that's South Florida and Memphis. And we're playing them both this year. So first one's week 2 at home. It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, that's my take on it too, is I'm glad that we got these guys early, and I'm glad we got them early in the season and not in November. Because if they'd had to travel to Tampa in November, this would be a different game. And I think we all know that. So especially because it looks like, you know, they've got really good players on defense, but none of those dudes and nobody on that coaching staff has seen the triple option, and they got to get it in week 2, which is, you know, kind of like the worst thing that can happen to them. So you got to make that work. But if we're catching these guys in November, it might be a different deal. We'll see.
Yeah, and I'm sure USF played Navy last year, but as the coach of Tulsa said, you know, it's not the same offense anymore. There's considerably different prep work that goes on between prepping for Navy and prepping for Army, which is a good thing for us. In addition, I don't know the last time Hartline, I mean, I don't know who his defensive coordinator is, whether it was an internal hire or someone else. And the last time, that'll be an interesting thing to look at for when we do our USF prep episode.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think, you know, the transfer portal is the bugaboo, right? Like we talk about that all the time, but teams that bring in talent over the summer take a few weeks to gel. So better to catch, you know, best to catch them early, because you may not catch them towards the end of the season. Because once they get like week 3, week 4, or start getting close to that midseason form, that, like, it's a completely different team.
Slightly bad news, by the way. Defensive coordinator Josh Aldridge was the defensive coordinator at East Carolina last year.
Yeah.
That's so not slightly bad news. That's colossally bad news. East Carolina was excellent against the triple option.
Well, but we were really bad against the triple option, against ECU's defense.
ECU, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Omar, man, you want to do the last game?
All right, yeah, I'll take us home. I'll limp home. So after the bye week, Army steps into the least intimidating environment in college football, a home game at Lincoln Financial Field. And all jokes aside, this game became even less intimidating with a 4 p.m. local time kickoff. Like, ESPN does what ESPN does. Oh well. But all jokes aside, this is probably the scariest opponent in my eyes on the schedule, in conference at least. The Temple Owls, like noted in the notes that you made, Dano, they return a lot of production. And in my preview, like especially at the wide receiver position, they return their top two leading receivers in Colin Chase, JoJo Bermudez, and a tight end that was atop the PFF rankings in Peter Clark for a while. He had like 16 yards per catch on 30 catches. Peter Clark from the UK. And also to a lot of talent on defense like this, I could talk myself into Temple being a not just American Conference, dark horse, but also maybe like for the playoffs. They play Penn State at home. That being said, again, this game will take place 2 weeks after the emotional high or emotional low of the Penn State game for Temple. Any thoughts on the Owls? I think Casey Keeler is one of the best talent evaluators in college football. And I think I've said this like before, like this man has an eye for talent at no level. Like, heck, his starting linebacker and returning leading tackler is a JUCO guy. Like, when do we see JUCO guys in the portal era killing it at the FBS? So I'll spin. I'll go Rob first.
Yeah, so this game is going to be tricky. You know, 5-7, like a 5-7 team in the American could just as easily have been 7-5. And I think that goes for a lot of the teams that were kind of in the middle of the pack from like 4 through 8. It's really interesting to see that. And then, for me, what I would like to see is I'd like to see Army get after the quarterback. I think that's the key, is because that's their weakest area. So if you put some pressure on them, then they may be able to, you know, take those high performing receivers out of the game. But again, that's a defensive struggle that, like, how do you crack that code? And again, we haven't talked about it, and we'll get into the defensive preview, but I think this might be the best defensive front seven that we've had in a while, you know, even with the losses of Thomas and Fortner. So I think there's a way that Army can take advantage of this game. But Temple, you know, do not be surprised. They're going to play Penn State a lot closer than people think. And the reason why I say that is because Penn State is going through a significant identity crisis based off of what happened to them last year. And, like, who wants to go to Penn State now, right? I mean, probably the same kids that didn't want to transfer to Virginia Tech when James Franklin left, right? So there's a big gaping hole in that program that it's probably going to take a year or two to fill, because there's some other talented places where these kids can go.
Temple lost to Army and Navy last year by a combined total of 2 points, and it took a miracle for Navy to win. And to add to that, their returning production is higher than both Army and Navy. So I'll leave you with that. It's a road game at a weird start time. Army traditionally has issues at weird start times. I'm not taking anything for granted in that game.
Yeah, sure.
Agree completely. I mean, half the Army fan base is going to be marching back to the motor pool when they kick off. I just don't understand that one at all. You know, Omar's going to be out there with his PMCS book. I forget what the manual is called, working on his Humvee or whatever they put you signal guys in the modern world. I don't understand. I'll be at the office when the game kicks. I mean, God forbid we have a job, ESPN. Sorry, guys. I'm definitely not sleeping on Temple. I thought that was one of the better wins that the team got last year, and I definitely think they can win again. I don't think we know who Temple's quarterback is going to be, which is not nothing. So, yeah, we'll see.
I mean, what was that, Omar? You're probably the guy for this, but they went 5-7 last year. When was the last time Temple went to a bowl game?
Brief caveat with that. So it was 2019, but they had to think about it, right? They would have went to the Birmingham Bowl, but they had to think about it. If you're a Temple fan, if you're a Temple and you have to think about your first bowl in 6 years, like, what are you doing? Like, so they got skipped over, but they would have been a 5-7 bowl team last year. That's just funny to me. It's a funny story, but 2019 was their last bowl, and that was, well, Rod Carey, but essentially the Matt Rule core was like still essentially there. So, like, yeah, Temple. I mean, honestly, I always love joking about Temple and how the game ended last year. Like, a 10-minute 50-yard drive is just objectively funny. Like, and like, people in Temple's gonna say, oh, like someone said, oh, they gave us a Veterans Day spot. I'm like, I don't know. If I were Temple, I would simply not allow a 50-yard, 10-minute drive and complain about a Veterans Day spot. But sorry, that's my gallivanting there.
Sure.
Friends,
all right, I'll take
there. Go ahead. You're gonna do this one?
Yeah, well, I'll take it, since my internet connection is now somewhat stable and I'm not frozen. Yep. There we go. All right. There's a reason you don't need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, but more importantly, someone who has survived total physical and mental collapse and then pulled themselves out of the fire and rebuilt themselves even stronger and better. Greg Iannicelli is a West Point graduate of the class of 97, U.S. Army veteran, a successful enterprise software sales executive, IFBB Pro Bodybuilder, NCI Certified Fitness Coach, and now is the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, and his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At age 50, he won the overall classic physique bodybuilding championship championship in the NPC Masters in Las Vegas last year, and he won his IFBB Pro card, saying it's never too late for you to be the warrior that you were meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men and women who are struggling and to stop drifting and decline, resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you're ready to reclaim your strength, confidence, and warrior ethos, apply now at Warrior Physique Fitness to restart your own comeback story. And I will pause there because Greg owes us a new copy because he has actually gotten a new partner. And so the discount is going to change. So he owes us some new information on that, but he's also partnering with another group to give you better prices and more accessibility to his workout programs. But
he is a national champion. National champion. So if you're looking for somebody who can change your life, you know, he's still taking orders. You know, you can still get in touch with him while he's figuring it out.
Yeah. Go ahead, James.
Oh, no, you finish.
I was just going to say he's got a business card on the website. Just go to askforfootball.com. You can see Jocelyn, Craig, and Greg's stuff. There's good alliteration there, Jocelyn, Greg, and Craig. But you can click on their little cards, fill out some information, and they'll be in touch with you shortly. Thanks.
So I mentioned just one more thing about the schedule this year. I'll mention a few games you might think about going to if you're making fall travel plans. So he said South Florida, Memphis, the first time they're playing those teams in conference play. Army has not lost to an American team in their first meeting in conference play so far. So, and those are the last two. So you might think about those games. Obviously, Bryant is going to be the first game with the new East stands open. So that'll be a cool game if you can get to it. Air Force at home. They were at Mikey 2 years ago, correct?
Yes.
So that was the first one after a long stand where they weren't because they were traveling. It'll be a sellout crowd again. I think there are still tickets available, which is kind of surprising, but they're going fast. The Air Force home game will be, with the new East stands will be awesome. And peak travel, early November, always a blast. The last one I was going to mention is Tulsa. I went to a night when I lived in Oklahoma City. I went to a night game at Tulsa. It's freaking awesome. I went to the Army game at Tulsa 2 years ago. I had fun. It was 93 degrees or whatever, and it was the Oklahoma sun. I normally during games where I'm in the press conference, leave the press conference for a lot of the game and go hang out with the Army crowd. I spent a lot of time in the press box, in the press box because it was so freaking hot. I was getting hot in the press box because the sun was shining through the glass so much. But night games in Tulsa, it's a fun college town. It reminds me a lot of New York City just because of the architecture. It's all built at the same time. So you get this Art Deco, these Art Deco skyscrapers because it was all the oil and gas from the 1920s. There was more construction going on in Tulsa than in New York City at the time. And the Tulsa airport was more used than London and Paris combined, to give you an idea of what Tulsa was like in the 1920s. So there's some really cool architecture, some cool things to see. And downtown, college area of Tulsa at night after a football game is an absolute blast. So if you can go, I'm sure if Omar's still in Oklahoma, he'll go. But it is a great time on Friday nights in Tulsa.
Talking about stadiums, supposedly they took that retaining wall down in front of the East stands today. So cool. The Go Army, that big gray wall that's been there for 2 years or whatever, supposedly that came down today. So I have not seen pictures of it down, but I did hear that. So I got a favorite thing. If you guys were on here 2 weeks ago, we've done weekly shows now. I think this is our fourth week in a row doing a show, but I read Joe Troutman's book from the Telling Your Story episode. And if you missed the show, go back and listen to that one because it was good. And I know you did because just looking at our stats, you guys need to go back and check on that one. It was awesome. Like his book was really interesting. It reminded me of all the stuff that I loved and especially hated about the Army at the same time. Very, very down to earth read. Let you know about it, and you can learn all about Rob. I learned shit about Rob that I didn't know, so that was actually amazing. So yeah, that's worth your time if you get a chance. Anybody all else right. got a favorite thing?
Hey, everybody, oh, I got a favorite thing. Like we're getting back into it, and my internet connection works. Like literally, you have to throw your hotspot in the window. Times have changed. I'll send Ravens next week. Anyway, for the crew here, the IS for Football, Army Football Show. I'm your host, Rob, in Virginia. We've got Dano Ikebasa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, James in St. Louis, Missouri, and Omar wrapping it up at the lovely home of the Fire Center of Excellence at Fort Sill. We thank you guys for checking us out, and we will be back again next week with a little bit more insights on Army football. And as always, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Like and subscribe for more Army football analysis. Shop our store today. Go Army. Beat Navy.
That'll do it for this edition of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to everyone riding with us each week as we break down the black nights, the season, and everything that makes Army football special. Before we get out of here, a huge thank you to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, relocating, or just trying to figure out your Jocelyn Bradley is ready to